a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. Last time we were together, Rich Schmidt and I were talking about the code of honor for a police officer. We want to finish up our series as we deal with the code of conduct. Exactly how does a police officer conduct him or herself with the integrity, with the character that represents them and us well? Good morning, Rich.
Well, good morning, Pastor, and good morning to our listeners, and thanks for tuning in once again. We'd like to take a few minutes this morning and discuss maybe one or two principles that are involved in the officer's code of conduct. And of course, we've been discussing some of the things that have happened around the country, some issues that even might have happened locally that have really brought to the mind of people, of our citizens, of our local neighborhoods, of how are the police and the citizens interacting? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Are we in a good place? Are we in a bad place? And I come here this morning specifically to state that the police are still here. The police are still here to serve. The police still are embracing service. And the police still have the code of ethics, if you will, the code of conduct and the oath of honor of which we embrace and still wish to serve our community with full vigor and help those in a time of need and be of good servants to our community. One of the great things that we like to state is we're in public service. It's a service. It's a volunteer position that the police officer takes. But I know one of the big issues right now that at least has come to light in couple of cases across the country, which have gotten a tremendous amount of media play, involves the concept of officer integrity. And out of the code of conduct, which every single officer is expected to follow, I just want to read a very short piece regarding part of that code of conduct that the officer is to follow, and it's stated under the place of integrity. A police officer will not engage in acts of corruption or bribery, nor will an officer condone such acts by another police officer. The public demands that the integrity of police officers be above reproach. Police officers must, therefore, avoid any conduct that might compromise integrity and that undercut the public confidence in law enforcement agency. Officers will refuse to accept any gifts, presents, subscriptions, favors, gratuities, or promises that could be interpreted as seeking to cause the officer to refrain from performing official responsibilities honestly and within the law. Integrity, extremely important for our police officers, and one which I believe the vast, vast majority of all officers embrace and follow to the T. Well, the Bible also, and of course, I'm coming from a Christian perspective, and I, of course, understand not every citizen that might be listening embraces a Christian perspective, and I know not all officers will embrace a Christian perspective, but I think at least it offers some valuable insight as to how we're expected to act. In Titus chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." Well, Pastor, I think that's some really good advice.
Yes, it is.
That whether you embrace Christianity or not, the principles that are presented in there really will teach a whole lot of folks how to stay out of trouble.
Right, right.
Sober-minded, in other words, it's not referring to being drunk out of your brains. What it's basically saying is be sober. Have a strong attitude of non-complacency, not playing around with things, but really being strict and disciplined in what you're thinking. And I just love this about sound speech that can't be condemned.
Mm-hmm.
If people watch their tongues, you know how many arguments, shootings, brawls, and all that would be avoided?
Oh, exactly.
It would be a miracle, if you will, if people would adapt to that.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when an officer allegedly violates the integrity issue? or even faces potential criminal acts. What takes place? And I think the public, to some degree, may be not understanding that this is serious within the law enforcement community. When an officer is alleged to have done something improper, that's something that has to be investigated and will be investigated. Charges will be brought to the district attorney, and if the district attorney believes that the elements of the crime have been met, that officer is going to be charged. It's no joke. It's no nonsense. It's no corners cut. They will be held to a high standard. Yes, I could unfortunately tell stories of individuals that belong to the agency in which I serve and others that have faced these criminal charges and have gone to prison for things they've done.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an accountability factor for officers. We also have what's called the Internal Affairs Unit, which I think many people are familiar with. When anything is alleged by the community for an officer to have done wrong, it goes to Internal Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And those involved in Internal Affairs are expected to investigate and to hold the officers accountable, of which finally the chief or the sheriff or the other appointed law enforcement person will certainly do that, and proper discipline will be meted out. Well, public perception is very powerful, and many of the top elected and appointed police officials have gone very public on some of these issues and have made it very clear they will not tolerate bad actions by police officers. They expect them to be individuals of integrity. However, it's also very, very important to realize, especially with some of the things that have hit the media and so forth, that many of these allegations that have come out, some of them, and again, I'm not going to judge based on particular cases, which we're not going to review this morning, but here's what I'm asking people to do from a law enforcement perspective, and also from an individual who just happens to be a member of the community as well.
Right.
Every police officer belongs to the community. What are we looking for? If indeed an allegation exists, do the same thing that every citizen would expect. Let's see what the facts bear
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
If indeed an officer has violated the code of conduct, if indeed there's an integrity issue that's been violated, then yes, hold them accountable. And we'll back you up 100% on that
right.
from a police officer's standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
However, if the officer acted justly, regardless of whether maybe certain people agreed with it or not, if it's been thoroughly investigated, the facts have come out, and the officer's been exonerated to have done the right thing, then we need to support the officer
right.
and let them get back to work. Well, I'd like to challenge all of us, first of all, as Christians, and this is our final time we'll spend together on this particular subject, but as a Christian police officer, as one who embraces biblical principles, and as one who has the very good fortune right now of being able to be heard by many people in our community over this broadcast, here's what I would really challenge each of us to do, and I'm including myself in this group. I would like to challenge all of us who are part of the faith-based community with these questions and coming up with the proper answer. What are we doing as Christians to make our neighborhood a better, safer place to live? What is the real answer to violence? What is the real answer to safer streets? What is the real answer to keeping children out of trouble? What is the real answer to keeping teenage boys and girls out of trouble? What's the real answer, if you will, to changing the violent person? What can stop the wife beater? What can change the career criminal? What can change the burglar or the robber? What can change the rapist? What can change the alcoholic? What can change the drug addict? What can change any person from any walk of life whose life is ethically or morally impaired? You know, we look to several things that God has instituted in the scriptures. Government was instituted by God. The family was instituted. Then we have education. All of these things are important pieces of the puzzle, mm-hmm. but did they answer the question of what can we do to really change the situation that we see across our country today and in our local neighborhoods? Just recently in the news, a horrific event down in Waco, Texas, where a massive group of, I guess we'll just be kind and call them motorcycle bikers, they got together, a couple guys going to the washroom, they get in an argument, they begin to fight, it breaks out into the establishment they're in, and next thing you know, people are shooting at each other, beating each other with chains, stabbing each other, shooting at the police, and the next thing we have a horrific outcome, nine individuals dead. Well, Pastor, the last time I checked, you cannot reverse that. Once someone's dead, it's done.
Right.
It's over. There's no more help for that person. What can we do as a community to change that? What can we do to break through? Is it to have better educational systems? Well, I'm all for education, and our educational system, especially in the public schools, does it need an overhaul? Yes, it does. Is that going to change the hearts of the people, though? I kind of doubt it. What about our family units? Does that have the ability to change the way people think? Well, it certainly is a positive move if mom or dad or whoever's the guardian of our children apply the right principles. Can it have a wonderful effect? Sure it can. What about government and the police? Is that the answer? Can the government, through the police and through strong enforcement or maybe more lax enforcement, is that what's going to change the nation? Is that what's going to change the hearts of people? Well, Pastor, all those things, whether it's government, whether it's the school system, whether it's our police officers, whether it's more training, whether it's families being better trained, is that what's going to change the course of the nation? Is that what's going to set us on the right path? Well, I'd like to throw out this hypothesis, which I think is probably a pretty good one. As a law enforcement professional, I embrace the law enforcement community with all my heart, and I think it is truly important that they exist to help the public. But there's one thing that I believe is much, much more important than simply police, much more important than simply the teachers, much more important than elected officials, and that is what will change the heart. And Pastor, I believe you can explain that very precisely as to what change needs to happen.
It gets back to what is the basic foundation of our moral principles and our ethical decisions. Is it how I feel and what I think? Is it that I demand to know all the facts? Or is it I need help? Our country needs help. And of course, the answer is Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, come to me and let me deal with a heart issue. And of course, the issue is a sin issue. And every one of us have a sin issue. And that's why every one of us are offered a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay for your sins and for mine. What a blessing it is to be able to see God change lives and change hearts, change homes, change families, change communities. And when revival breaks out, man, communities totally change because we see the issue is the heart. My friend, where is your heart? Is it one of rebellion and argument and being cantankerous, or is it one that is a teachable heart saying, God, I need your principles and your precepts. I need your presence in my life. We're here at Brookside Baptist Church to help you. Come and visit with us. Call us. We'd love to be a help to you and help you find Christ as your personal Savior. Till the next time, we pray the Lord will bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.